Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Weird and morbid still shots of their corpses at the bottom of the cliffs. Apparently, okay? I didn't know that we talked about these things, but apparently we did. Lore boys, lore boying with your lore boy, lore boys. It's lore boy Ethan here, joined with lore boy Peter and lore boy Odobenus Rosmaris. How are you guys doing
lore
today?
Lore boy, lore boy. I'm pretty lore boy if you ask lore boy.
Yeah, well, if I lore boy you, then lore boy me, huh? That's what we always say.
Yeah,
well,
man.
Since you called me that, I got my chopsticks in my mouth, because that's a walrus, right? That's a walrus.
You have
that's
you
old
have
Italian
chopstick
for walrus.
They keep crossing. I'm not doing it right.
Yeah, no, you're a bad walrus. You're bad walrus. Bad!
Bad! Did you guys ever watch, like, Frozen Planet, where there was a bunch of walruses on a tiny island, and some of them were falling off cliffs?
I'll get you, Woody Woodpecker.
Yeah. It's one of the saddest and also fucking hilarious things I've ever seen in my life.
Just because
they're so fat, and they're just plummeting onto jagged rocks.
Jeez. Yeah, but then there's also the still shot of all the dead bodies.
I know,
on the ground.
It's horrible, but like when we watch our meme videos, people falling down is one of my favorite things. Yeah. And a walrus is just looks like a big fat guy.
Well, we're a comedy podcast, and we talk about funny things usually. These two have been morbid thoughts all night, but we have a good time here, don't we?
Yeah. I'm a walrus. Look at me. Oh, there's a banana peel.
I slipped and fell off a cliff.
Plummeted to my
Woody
death.
Woodpecker ultimate
dashed
conspiracy
among my children.
It's some good, like, Skate 3 ragdoll physics, though, for the fall. Like, it's good.
That's my problem. Yeah.
So,
anyway.
So today we're talking about Warhammer 40K. Do you guys know what Warhammer 40K is? Or
I happen to have bought a pair of Arminger Warglaives recently that I've primed and are set to paint with two different great houses.
Very cool. Very cool.
I played the first 39,999.
Okay, so you're familiar with the Horus Heresies and obviously the Great Strife and all those eras, right?
Our previous 40K episode was
the pre-40K episodes.
Yeah. We did the Primarchs and the Great Crusade. We've done the Tyranid. The Necron is a ye olde episode.
Yeah, so we did the Primarchs and the Great Crusade. The Tyranid is our most recent. We've done the Eldar. We've done Warhammer Age of Sigmar, and we did Warhammer 40K, like you say, the Great Primarchs, or the Primarchs and the Great Crusade, and we did the Horus Heresies. The Primarchs and the Great Crusades are the only episodes that we're really going to lean on or touch on this episode. We're not going to talk about Tyranid. We're not going to talk about Eldar. We're not going to talk about filthy Xenos of any type.
No heresy at all, I hope.
No. I mean, the heresy is so intrinsically tied to the identity of the Space Marines, it's kind of impossible to get away from it. But obviously, the Horus Heresy, like if we're, to Jamie's point, if we're in the year 40K, the year of our Lord, the year of our God Emperor, 40K, the Horus Heresy was about 10,000 years ago, like 8,000 to 10,000 years ago. It took place those two millennia. It feels like we recorded that episode 8,000 to 10,000 years ago, so I remember basically nothing of it. I'm pretty sure it was just me and Pete. I don't know if Jamie was on it. It might
have been. I was in Poland. Yeah. I remember listening to it in a bar in Poland and being like, I'm with my friends, sort of.
Yeah.
I remember what I had to draw. It was like a space marine that had dragged a guy out of bed and just appointed him sheriff of a town.
Okay. That sounds
after
vaguely
beating another guy to
he's
death
on his shoulders or something, right?
Yeah.
That sounds vaguely
I think
familiar.
We had Murphy on for that.
Murph was on for that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was one of our it must have been first season episodes. We had a guest, if not our first guest. Jamie Sane's second season, very possible. Yeah, also, and for
our
me,
our first guest was Namdi.
Our first guest, yeah, Namdi was our first guest. Now that you say it, when that was Street Fighter way back in the day, that was like episode
five.
We had two mics.
Warned listeners.
Yeah.
We're all crowded around the table that I'm sitting at now. And,
anyway, is this the Borlois Lore Boys podcast, or is this the Lore Boys? Huh? We don't talk. We don't just talk about the Lore Boys podcast. We talk about subject matter
and dead walruses.
Sometimes, occasionally, from time to time, we do talk about dead walruses and walruses falling off cliffs, plummeting to their deaths, and then weird and morbid still shots of their corpses at the bottom of said cliffs. Apparently, okay. I didn't know that we talked about these things, but apparently we do. but we do have fun here. So I guess to preface this, this episode might feel a little scatterbrained because this was a request from a listener, someone on the Discord, who asked us to cover more Space Marines and specific factions, and I was like, yeah, I'll totally do that. And I went into it planning on covering a bunch of multiple factions in a single episode, and then I realized I didn't remember anything about the Horus Heresy, so I kind of want to retread a bit of old ground to just give everyone that same kind of base. And then I was like, okay, then I'll start diving into them. Then I had time to dive into one. So really, we're going to talk about one of the original legions who followed the Primarch, who were ruled by Primarchs.
Hey, Ethan.
Yeah.
Which legion is it we talk about today?
It's going to be the Dark Angels eventually. Like I said, we're gonna retread some old ground, get some context for us, because I didn't remember much. Like I know about the Primarchs, but I didn't remember how much I still don't remember how much we actually talked about them. Obviously, we did a whole episode on them, but I don't remember what specifically. I don't remember if I even named the Primarch of the Dark Angels that we're going to talk about. So I wanted to just give everybody that kind of context without forcing them to go listen to those little things, without forcing myself to go listen to that old episode.
Well, like, doing a quick recap is just like, sometimes we have like certain episodes where it's, we kind of give our listeners homework. Like, yeah, you're not really going to understand a fucking thing in Purgatory if you don't listen to the Hell episode first, right?
Exactly.
So like, we'll do a quick recap for everybody. Little quick thing here, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're new to the show, I think this episode should stand on its own. And if you really enjoy it, then you can go back, listen to the Primarchs episode, and let me know what the fuck it's about, because Lord knows I don't remember. So we have the Emperor of Mankind in the Warhammer 40K universe. He's sometimes called the Master of Mankind or the God Emperor.
Master of Mankind. That's mom, if you do the acronym.
On his armor.
Yeah. M-O-M.
All the Space Marines, before they get installed in their armor, go and get a tattoo the boys. The mom tattoo.
Yeah. All right, some of them already had the mom tattoo, and they're just like, no, just add the dots. Like,
yeah. if I recall correctly, he has been ascended to godhood by his followers, and he actually thought the whole religion thing was kind of stupid, right? It's like an ironic thing.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. So, and we're not going to get into this too much, because this is kind of what we talked about with the Horus Heresies and the Great Crusade and all that stuff in previous episodes. But he was born in the 8th millennium, and he's known as a perpetual. And there was a number of these perpetuals. They were kind of regarded as like the next step in human evolution. It was another perpetual actually who coined that term, the next step in human evolution. Erda, a longtime companion of the Emperor since the earliest days of human history. They considered perpetuals to be the next step in human evolution. She would even dub them Homo superior as opposed to Homo erectus or Homo sapien. Which is a title I think we can all be a little jealous of. I would love if I just had a business card that said Ethan Palmer, Homo Superior.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's also...
dude, you're about $25 plus shipping away from having that.
Yeah.
You think I got that kind of money, dude? I mean, okay, so it's patreon.com/theloreboys, but...
Almost Superior is very... that's very kind of self-absorbed, if you ask me. Or just like, well, what should we call ourselves? Oh, well, we're clearly the next step in human evolution. Like, why would you say that? It's like
we've got penises on our nose.
Well, you can't argue with that.
We started with Michael Jordan, where he mastered basketball but couldn't quite do baseball. But now we can do both. We are Homo Superior.
Yeah. Who are we? Barry Bonds? So, I mean, they are definitely superior, though. They are immortal, to start. They're much stronger, much faster. The Emperor of Mankind is very, very tall. If you just take an organ or the stem cells out of the Emperor of Mankind and inject them into someone else, they basically grow to like 12 feet tall.
Isn't that the gene seed or whatever?
The gene seeds is exactly what it is, and how they end up making space marines. So space marines are all like 12 foot tall, 10 to 12 foot tall monsters, basically.
Is it like steroids though? Does it fuck your nuts up?
Yeah, it makes your testicles very small.
Well, same size, just comparatively.
Oh, that's almost worse.
So many of the perpetuals did seem to arise from natural changes to the human condition, and people were born naturally with superhuman psychic powers, immortality, incredible strength or speed, and many other deviations. Not all were born, though. The God Emperor himself transformed a young administratum transcriber, Dahlia Cytheria, into a perpetual who would come to be known as the Guardian of the Dragon, so she could watch over an unknown entity called the Dragon of Mars.
Cool.
It was some
Elon
unknown...
Musk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Elon Musk. He finally makes it to space. He becomes frozen and dies, and it's just his Twitter following is somehow still there on Mars, and they find it 20,000 years later, and they're like, what the fuck is this? And the God Emperor of Mankind is like, I don't know, but it seems dangerous, so let's fucking... keep an eye on it, huh? That's your job.
The God Emperor sends him like a peace treaty, and then they just like reply, "No, you," or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
I was gonna say he calls the God Emperor a pedophile. And we're not dealing with this shit.
Well, I'm gonna build a submarine to burrow under Mars. Okay, like it's gonna be fun.
The flamethrower.
Yeah. So, we're not gonna talk too much about Dahlia, but just kind of an example to Peter's point that. They can make these things using, or the Emperor can make perpetuals using what's called the gene seed.
Yeah. Well, for me, I was just more of a clarification that some people were just born as superiors, opposed to it being like supremacist marketing. It's just like, okay, the God Emperor is actually like different and doesn't just tell people he's different, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He was born that way. He was born immortal, born very tall, born very strong, very fast, very smart. Okay.
Is that Lady Gaga song about him?
In the rah rah Gaga, yeah, Bad Romance was written about him, but I don't know how you guessed that, honestly.
Peter, I think you found the second line to Ethan's business card is supremacist marketing.
Homo Superior supremacist marketing. Ethan Palmer Esquire. Yeah, so the Emperor was born in like the I don't have any of this written down, but he was born in like the 8th millennium. In Turkey on old Earth, as it's called.
Cool. Toiki.
The year 8000 is called Ancient Earth in the context of Warhammer 40K, which kind of makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. 32,000 years is a very long fucking time.
Yeah. Well, like 8000 years ago to us now is like Ancient Earth. Well, like
6000 BC.
Less, 2000 years ago is Ancient Earth. Like 12,000 years ago to us is the dawn of civilization, the cradle of life, like Macedonia.
Yeah.
The first of modern humans were sprouting up, so they wouldn't have even recognized probably
where
people.
Where is the cradle of life?
Macedonia.
It's like the cradle of life itself is somewhere in like Ethiopia where like humans first evolved and like spread out in North Africa.
Where's Macedonia?
I thought it was North
Greece.
Africa.
Macedonia is north of Greece. It's in Europe.
Okay. Oh. I know Alexander's from there. But that's about it. Yeah. So
Europe.
So it's probably safe to say like pre 8000, they wouldn't even recognize humans of that time as humans, you know, those were like pre-humans or whatever. And that's not something that's written. That's Loreboys canon, something that we've just come up with here.
Okay. Yeah.
So the Emperor, of course, was the most powerful of these perpetuals, at least in a lot of ways. Maybe just pure charisma made him the most powerful, because he would rise, become the god emperor of mankind, and live for tens of thousands of years, dozens of thousands of years. He was the shining example of everything a perpetual could strive to be. It was in that image of the perfect perpetual that the Emperor would create the Adeptus Astartes, often called the Space Marines. The Space Marines were originally founded in response to Horus's treachery, and there's a veritable ton of information we could go through. We could literally talk about Space Marine chapters for the next 1,000+ episodes. We won't do that, but I am kind of planning at least a couple more like this. So if you don't like it, keep it to yourself. If you do like it, tweet at me and encourage me some more. So we've got to start somewhere, right? So let's start with the original 20 legions. And if we talked about these on the Horus Heresy episodes, I know there's some chapters which we did talk about for sure. Horus's legion, we would have talked about for sure. But we're going to just jump into a bunch of interesting stories for ones that I find the most compelling. I say 20 legions, it's more like 18, but we'll get into why.
Just so I don't ask this question a million times, do any of these legions end up kind of changing either tech-wise or politically into the current Space Marine chapters that we deal with now?
Yeah, a ton of them. So the Space Marine chapters, a lot of them are named after the legions that they that spawn them.
Okay.
There's some which go on to become Chaos Space Marines, which is, for anyone who's never played Warhammer, it's like another army that you can choose when you're playing Warhammer 40K, is the Chaos Space Marines as opposed to the Space Marines. Completely different rule sets and all that stuff and things that they do. But some of these chapters do get corrupted by... Or some of these legions do get corrupted by the forces of chaos, the ruinous powers, as they're known, and go on to become Chaos Space Marines when the chapters are formed.
So, yeah. Guys, I don't know a lot about Warhammer, so I just Googled like Dark Angels just to see what they look like, and they got these cool green armor and stuff. And Games Workshop is selling Dark Angels leggings, so if you want those, you can get them.
Do they have Do they have Dark Angel jeggings? Game for the jeggings. Yeah, let me know if you do find jeggings though, because
I'll let you know.
I'm here for that.
Cool.
If you want some Dark Angel merch, baby.
Yeah.
I'm suspicious of what's in that photo. I know for a fact that women, there's no women in who play Warhammer 40K. It's all just crusty dudes like us.
As somebody who's been to several of the Canadian Games Workshop conventions for Warhammer 40K, I can confirm there's no women there. Though actually, no, that's not true. There was one woman there. It was my best friend Bobby's mom who drove us, and she came. Oh, with us.
She was the best. She would like get us costumes when we were playing D&D and light up candles and stuff. Yeah.
Joanne, I know you're not listening, but know that I love you.
I love her too.
You're a wonderful woman, or a wonderful woman,
a god empress of sorts.
Yeah, if you will, if you will. So we're gonna do a quick pass over the chapter names, then we can dive into the particular story that I'm interested in talking about today, from the Legion. In particular, future episodes that I'm going to do will probably dive into other legions or maybe the chapters that spawn from them, whatever are kind of like the coolest stories. There's 20 legions. Each of those broke into like 100 different chapters. So there's like...
Could you name every chapter from every legion, please?
I mean, I could if I pulled up the wiki right now, but that doesn't feel like compelling radio for our listeners.
9th edition expansion, buy new toys. 10th edition expansion, buy new toys. Yeah. They have very strange alien names. 11th edition expansion, buy new toys.
I mean, that's an interesting point. Like, they do... I do feel like a reason for making so many chapters and so many legions in the first place is so that you can market them as like, oh, you can buy this and paint them this way, and that's like the new legion that you're purchasing or whatever. But there's a ton of them, and they're all...
I love these things anyway. Like, I bought some. I have no idea what the fuck's going on. Like, I'm just being an asshole. I'm just being negative because corporations love money, damn it.
Some of them are really cool as hell, though. I'm looking through them, and yeah. Dark Angels seems like a cool faction.
So if you want to hear me talk about a particular story or chapter, crunch at us. Hit us up on the Discord or something. I'll never get sick of talking about Warhammer. So, while I go through the names of the top 20 legions, or the original 20 legions, I want you guys to tell me which Harry Potter death cult to the God Emperor of Mankind the Sorting Hat would sort you two into.
Easy. Okay. Very good.
So, number one, the first chapter founded was the Dark Angels.
They're Slytherin.
No, I'm not asking you guys to compare these to the four houses of Harry Potter. I'm asking which one you guys would most want to be in, which cult you, Jamie, and you, Peter, would want to join.
I'll let you talk then.
Based purely on name, and then if we get into the Dark Angels and you're like, I kind of like that, we'll go with that. Or if we get into one of the other ones and you guys like that, then you can change your mind in the future. But for now, just based on name, which one you guys like the most. So there's Dark Angels, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, missing and deleted from Imperial records.
All right.
So this is why I said there's 20, but really there's 18, because two of them have been completely scrubbed from all traces of history.
I wonder if those guys are like the 404 armor not found, and it just said like checkered pink and black texture from Gmod on their armor.
one of them's that. The other one is the chrome no internet connection. The dinosaur on their armor.
Yeah.
Okay, so number three is the Emperor's Children.
Okay.
Number four is the Iron Warriors. Number five is the White Scars. Number six, Space Wolves. Number seven, Imperial Fists. Number eight, Night Lords. Number nine, Blood Angels. Number 10, Iron Hands. Number 11, missing and deleted from Imperial records. Number 12, the World Eaters, hungry boys. Number 13, the Ultramarines. Number 14, the Death Guard. Number 15, the Thousand Sons. Number 16, the Luna Wolves. Number 17, the Word Bearers. Number 18, the Salamanders. 19, Raven Guard. 20, Alpha Legion.
I don't have enough mascara to be a Dark Angel, so I think I identified. I like Space Wolves.
You're no big titty goth girlfriend.
No,
Space Wolves. Space Wolves. Titty goth girlfriend.
I remember we talked about a couple of those already. I think Space Wolves was somewhere. I've heard about them through cultural osmosis.
I do Thousand Suns because I think I've seen them before. They're like the Egypt fanboys, right?
Yes, I think so. I'm saying that I'm vamping like I know, but I don't know. So Ultramarines, you guys,
they're the regular guys.
They're the iconic blue, the ones that became the StarCraft Terran Marines.
Right.
That's the Ultramarine is like the pinnacle blue or whatever. Thousand Suns also look blue. They look blue and gold according to the wiki.
But and Space Wolves also looks blue.
Kind of Egyptian, I guess. The Luna Wolves, you guys should know that was Horus's legion that ended up kicking off the Horus heresy and saying the God Emperors, not all that.
Okay.
Googling, I want to change to Luna Wolves because I like the look of them more than the blue Space Wolves.
Dude, they've followed Horus.
They're that's all right.
Guys.
I kind of like them. They look cool as hell.
I say they're bad guys. I'm a big fan of orcs and Tyranids, so.
Exactly. You are literally like the planet devouring hordes of chaos.
Exactly.
Not directly in the case of the Tyranids, but I know, like, didn't the orcs get created and they're like super powerfully magical, but they're just too stupid to realize it?
Yeah. They just love to fight, man. Like when you have an orc army, and I play orcs in Age of Sigmar. When you have an orc army, if you just have units that are too far away from combat, they'll just start fighting with each other.
Yep.
Because they're bored.
Yeah, I'm going to rep my Thousand Sons until I find out they've done something horrible. So, all right.
So I was kind of going through the list, and I promise I didn't get lazy here. But I was like, I wrote down the list of all the legions that we know of, the 18. And then I was like, okay, I'll start looking into interesting stories. And I got to the first one. And I was like, you know what? This is a fine story. So
good enough.
good enough.
For what us. Are the chances?
It's worth mentioning that Total War, the Warhammer game, is 75% off on Steam right now. So if you guys want to get into that, it's a really good time to get into
it. Total War Warhammer's great game. I haven't played the second one, but I'd love to. If you like the Total War series, if you like the realistic RTS combat, definitely scoop it. It's a great pickup. So. Cool. To start with a quote from Inquisitor Bastalek Grimm. Since the founding of their legion at the birth of the Imperium, the Space Marines of the Dark Angels have been dreaded by their enemies and held in awe by those they protect. Stubborn and relentless in battle, ever vigilant and zealous in their pursuit of their duties, the Dark Angels are among the Emperor's most faithful servants. Yet, it was not always so. For 10 millennia, the Dark Angels have harbored a sinister secret. an act so terrible and shameful it threatens everything the Dark Angels hold most dear, and yet and may yet bring them eternal damnation.
Okay, cool.
So that's that quote was at the top of the wiki, so I was like, okay, this seems interesting. Let's just go with the Dark Angels then. Easy choice, easy wife, easy life, huh?
Yeah, just with the name Dark Angel, I would get the impression that they're pretty into, like, Evanescence fan fiction.
Well, like, I posted one into our group chat of, like, this dude in awesome green armor with these big silvery wings and, like, a hammer.
They're green.
Looks cool as hell, dude.
They're, like, green.
Dark Angels are green? Oh, that is fucking... Oh, that is actually sweet as shit, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as, like, miniature painting goes, Games Workshop does some incredible work. There's a lot of problems with the company. You know, we won't get into it here. Listen to any of our other Warhammer 40K episodes or Warhammer episodes in general to hear me complain about Games Workshop.
Yeah. But,
Games Workshop. Is it games or is it work?
And that's, I mean, that's my main gripe with them, really, is like, come on, pick a side.
Branding.
Huh? You heard my branding at the top of the show. It was all Lore Boys, you know? It's not Lore Boys Workshop. It's not Games Lore Boys. It's just Lore Boys, okay? It's one or the other.
Come on.
Come on. So the Dark Angels are considered among the most powerful and secretive of the Loyalist Space Marine chapters. They were the first legion of the original 20 Space Marine legions to be created during the first founding of the 30th millennium.
Okay, wow.
So, the order that I gave them in was the order of creation.
Oh, I'm surprised the Ultramarines were so far down the list.
13. Unlucky number 13. And it's one of those things, like, I feel like they probably created the list. Like, Games Workshop, the company, created the list and then backfilled the lore. And Ultramarines in the market of common acceptance and, you know, the public market became the most popular. And so now then a lot of books were written about them, a lot of content was written about them, but they were already the 13th, you know? So they stuck with that, which is, I think, a cool way of them kind of organically coming up in, like, the storyline of the 40K universe.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily going to be just, like, the first guys you make are the face of the company, right? You go through different iterations and shit.
Yeah. And again, like, shit on Games Workshop all you want. It's hard to argue that there's a lot more fleshed out universes out there, you know, like they rival Tolkien, they rival Dungeons and Dragons, they go toe to toe with the best of them with just the pure amount of lore that you can squeeze out of every single thing. We're gonna spend a whole episode just talking about the one specific chapter of the Space Marines, the Dark Angels.
Yeah, I mean, we can keep twisting. Yeah.
Speaking of, like, places with a lot of lore, like, I think loreboys.com, like, they have hundreds of hours of lore in a podcast form. It's
at least a couple hundred, man.
Yeah.
I was just thankful that it's like, yeah, they just have so much of it. Just, we can just keep squeezing that bag over Loreboys bucket. It's always going to fill up with Warhammer.
I'm glad that we're not doing the 4-hour episodes anymore. So as much, could you imagine? Because when we started, and for anyone listening who doesn't know, when we started, we did a couple burner episodes that we just ended up throwing out because they were like 4.5 hours long. And by the end of it, we were all just like exhausted because we've never done a podcast before.
And I drank like 2 or 3, 4 locos in one of them. It was bad news.
Again, for anyone who's never listened to the old episodes, we just used to get fucking shithoused and talk about lore. Not to say that we don't.
It was a real guerrilla podcast originally before we shaped up. It was basically just like we wouldn't start until each of us had already started drinking.
Yeah,
there was one where Ethan was just trying to get through it. Me and Peter would not shut up about Nick Cannon.
Oh my god,
we were talking about tweeting him, getting him on the show. You think Nick Cannon is a big Warhammer 40K fan?
I did tweet at him. I remember doing that at Jamie's house. I totally sent Nick Cannon a tweet and just told him to crunch at us because I was probably so drunk I couldn't see out of both eyes.
That was so dumb.
Okay, so not like the old days. I know I'm like 4.5 beers deep with a gin and tonic somewhere mixed in, but to actually get back on topic, though they claim complete allegiance and service to the Emperor of Mankind, the Dark Angels' actions and secret goals at times seem at odds with that professed loyalty. as the Dark Angels strive above all other things to atone for an ancient crime of betrayal committed over 10,000 standard years ago against the trust of the Emperor during the time of the Great Crusade and the Horus Heresy.
Okay, that sounds exhausting now, doesn't it?
What?
Committing just trying to atone for a crime for 10,000 years ago? Yeah.
I mean,
that's a lot.
In a way, that's kind of not 10,000, but just if you think about it, just 2,000 years ago, that's kind of Christianity in a nutshell, right?
In a nutsack.
Well, you know, agree to disagree, but
that's what you almost said.
Maybe in a nutsack. Yeah, in a nutshell. Sorry, I'm from Lithuania. That's the expression there. It's in a nutsack. Oh. So.
Yeah, it's a long time though. And do we know what their crime was? Are we gonna get into it?
Yeah, we'll
at
get
all,
into
or?
It. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So the Dark Angels were from Caliban, an imperial death world located galactic north of Earth.
How do you establish north, south, east, west in space?
You pick it or it's
constantly spinning.
Great. So I knew that sentence could raise two questions. And I answered both of them because I was like, hey. You know, one, these idiots are going to ask one of these two questions. So, Galactic North is... So, Warhammer 40K takes place in the Milky Way galaxy, right?
Yeah.
Which is a spiral arm galaxy. So, it's relatively flat. If you look at it like it was a flat dinner plate spinning,
right?
Then you pick where Earth is and you just...
Choose a direction.
You choose a direction. That's north, west, east, south, the rest of them.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So overwhelming. The one thing in VR I can never get used to is the space games where you don't know which way is up. That is the most sickening. And I don't know how people get around in space. I guess not maybe.
Yeah, it's because up is relative, but you're still sitting in a chair in a building.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's not.
Just
those ones aren't so bad for me. It's the stick locomotion that really fucks me up. As a project manager on testing of VR games, it's. Stick locomotion just makes me sick to my fucking stomach. I can't do it. If you like VR, try it out. Or if you're interested in VR, try it out. It's a pretty cool experience, but makes some people sick.
Wanton opulence of like the design of some things in Warhammer, like their battle fleets, their Gothic armadas or whatever the fuck they're called, those ships that are the size of planets, to establish Galactic North, I do just imagine the Emperor ordering a 40,000-foot weather vane be mounted on the north pole of the planet.
Solid gold weather vane, yeah.
Exactly.
It's just the
rooster on the top. It's that dinosaur from the chrome thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
An ancient rune from the before times.
I was going to make so close to the same joke, but different punchline.
Yeah, we have similar minds. We usually go to the same jokes a lot.
Yeah, except I go to dicks more often because I was going to say instead of the rooster is going to be the Emperor's dick just pointing in a direction.
Oh, so. Because rooster is cock.
He's cock. That's my thought. Yeah. And also, kind of full of himself, this guy. God Gene Emperor Seed. Of Mankind? Come on. Really, bud?
Homo superior? I mean,
The first question was, how do you find North in the galaxy? And it turns out you assume it's all flat. The galaxy is flat. Prove me wrong.
Fucking ice shelf at the end of the galaxy.
Yeah. How would sunsets work in a 3D galaxy, moron?
I mean, as someone who's been playing Minecraft lately, like that works. You just assume it's flat and you have a positive and negative up and down. Yeah, you're good, Ethan. Thought it through.
So the second question was, what is a death world? Because Caliban, as I said, was an imperial death world.
I did get distracted by the cardinal directions in space. Yeah. I forgot to ask that question. It sounds awful.
So a death world is a world simply deemed too inhospitable for full human colonization. Maybe really difficult colonization. Like, I looked up Death Worlds and I wrote this whole thing, and then I actually finished researching Caliban, and Caliban seems to be more or less habitable or colonizable, if you will. So I don't know why Caliban specifically was considered a Death World. So you can have like barren rockscapes constantly racked by hypervolcanoes and ion storms, and it's like, yeah, you can't really set up shop there. That's like too difficult, you know? And you have like planets full of like these super inhospitable alien life forms that are just like constantly trying to kill you, which seems to be where Caliban gets its denomination. So the world Caliban possessed a cruel and harsh environment of these great beasts. So there was like massive monsters or just particularly dangerous monsters, which just used to like hunt humans, I guess.
It's like Australia. There's just like, don't leave your space boots unattended.
Yeah.
Outside your space marine tent.
You have to, your space marine boots, you have to turn them upside down and like shake them every morning to make sure.
Check out a bunch of giant spiders.
Yeah.
there's not much gravity, so they kind of just like float out at weird angles.
Knock them out, they just drift down to the ground.
The spiders here have 9 legs. Ooh.
Ooh.
What could be scarier than 8 legs?
Arachna superior.
Yeah, so the great beasts were they were warped and mutated into fanatical predators by the unnatural forces of chaos. Imperial scholars believe this was due to the Caliban system's close proximity to the Eye of Terror. And the Eye of Terror is like a galactic warp storm. So real quick, for anyone who hasn't listened to our past episodes on 40K, the warp is like this, where all psychic energy comes from. It's where the forces of chaos and the ruinous powers come from. It's this like unseen extra dimensional space, which exists where living creatures exist. So if you listen to our last 40K episode with the Tyranids, you know that it only exists where living creatures are, because the Tyranids can travel intergalactic space, and they're unique in that because everything else uses the warp to travel quickly across great distances. But it fucks people up. So there's like, it's like a hell dimension, a Hellraiser dimension, basically. And there's this great storm that kind of encompasses Caliban of the warp. Like a storm of the warp that encompasses Caliban.
It's like leaking onto our side of the Milky Way sort of thing,
yeah.
I guess.
And it's turning, well, it exists all across the Milky Way. It just doesn't exist at Earth in particular.
Okay.
But there's a storm of the warp. Like where it's like it's breaking through more near Caliban, and it's taking all the cows and all the squirrels, and it's making them like you know, fucked up squirrels and fucked up cows, dire squirrels, if you will, dire cows,
plague squirrels,
exactly. Yeah. So the human inhabitants
had a plague farm.
Ow. So the human inhabitants of Caliban were forced to live in huge fortresses and castles located in clearings hacked from the forests of the planet, cut off from Terra and the rest of mankind's interstellar community by the warp storms that savaged the galaxy during the Age of Strife. Human civilization on Caliban developed into a semi-feudal state, with most of the population ruled over by a small warrior elite who are very similar in function and form to the medieval European knights of old Earth's past. So if anybody missed the Middle Ages, we brought it back, baby. We brought it back on Caliban.
Nice.
Nice.
I love how you said they were forced to live in castles. They're forced to live in these giant, luxurious places. Like,
thank God we arrived at this planet with so many slaves, too. Yeah. Jeez.
I mean, they were literally forced to live in castles because, like, if they didn't have stone walls, like, these beasts would come into their homes and rip them apart in the middle of the night. So I don't know if that counts as a luxury, you know?
Hey, I guess that's why you have a castle.
So,
is that why I have walls? Why do we have walls, guys?
It's also beasts. To keep out. Yeah, great beasts.
Oh. Great beasts that would come into your house in the middle of the night and rip you apart. So we have this like kind of like warrior caste knighthood system, and the leaders of Caliban, the various elected officials of Caliban, used to send like put bounties on monsters and call it like quests, and be like, oh, you know, the dire pig, the space pig, is attacking our town this week. Whoever kills it will earn my daughter's hand in marriage and will be the next feudal lord of our state.
Okay, so they basically fully embraced their D&D campaign planet, and we're just like, it's like, well, it worked in the 80s. Which 80s? The 1980s.
Yeah. 1980s.
They have, like, do they go through different nostalgias every, like, 20,000 years, where everybody gets really nostalgic for like the 2080s, where like hair metal comes back for an 11,000th time?
I mean, there's no way they ever got nostalgic for something as old as us, right?
I guess not.
It's kind of tragic to think that nobody in the Warhammer 40K universe ever listened to the Lore Boys.
They might, because remember, it broadcasts just like is at light speed. It just goes infinitely off into space. Like, what if the Lore Boys
they might have
that
accidentally
with the naked dudes on it?
Yeah. Imagine if like top secret encoding in the future is just whatever the internet does now, and they just end up like cracking the code. So you have these knights going out. One day there's this group of knights led by this knight Luther, who discover a young man crouched in the forests of Caliban, all by himself, covered in mud, Tarzan-esque. This man would turn out to be the Primarch, Lion L. Johnson. Well, I guess Lion L. Johnson, as he'll come to be known. But it's one of the Primarchs. If you've listened to our Primarch episodes, you know that the Primarchs were created using the gene seed from the Emperor. He created 20 men, men and or women, to become superhumans with him and just rule his armies for him. Due to the ruinous powers of chaos, they who are like the evil gods of the Warhammer 40K universe, they got up to some mischief and they took all the Primarchs and they like scattered them throughout the universe for a while. So this is where one of them ended up. He ended up on this planet, Caliban.
Raised by space wolves like Mowgli.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So he was like, it's the bare necessities. I'm going to kill all the Xenos. So he's discovered by these knights. These knights are belong to a monastic group known as the Order.
Okay.
So the Order is like whatever, a faction on Caliban. The Order had a reputation across the world for the honesty, nobility, and fearless skill of its brother knights in battle. So uniquely amongst the many knightly orders of Caliban, the members or brothers of the Order were selected by merit rather than hereditary inheritance. So, so it's not like a noble house. It's not like a hunting and fishing club. It's like a, hey, are you a bad dude? Then you can join our podcast, the Bad Dudes Podcast. So any Calibanite could join the Order, no matter how lowborn they might be. Contingents of brother knights from the Order traveled across the planet, giving their aid wherever it was needed.
Sounded like he almost said lore boy instead of lowborn, and I love that comparison.
We got to be the most lowborn of lowborn, right? Like, we have to be the most lore boy of lowborns.
Loreborn.
We're the
Loreborns.
Yeah.
From Soft, Loreborn.
Loreborn.
Oh my god! Yeah. Jamming beer into your thigh to heal up.
So it was on one of these expeditions, one of these quests, that a band of the Order came upon the wild man who lived in the forest, who would turn out to be a Primarch. Thinking of a monster, the knights were ready to kill the Primarch when one of their number, sensing that there was something more to the creature than was apparent, halted his fellows. This young knight, Luther, and his fellow warriors then returned to Alduruk, which is the fortress monastery on Caliban.
Is that Q-U-E? Is it like, is it future French?
No, it's Alduruk. It's U-K-H.
U-K-H.
Anyway, not important. A-L-D-U-R-U-K-H. Taking with them the man born of the forest, or seemingly born of the forest, because of his appearance and the place of his discovery, the order gave the wild man the name Lion L. Johnson, which meant the lion, the son of the forest, in the Calibanite dialect of Low Gothic. Johnson easily adapted to the ways of humans and learned to speak and reason remarkably quickly under the knight's tutelage.
Okay, so knife and fork. The My Fair Lady thing was like a montage, basically, right?
Yeah, exactly. They pretty womaned him and taught him how to be a fully functioning member of society instead of a prostitute.
And demigod. Julia Roberts was a demigod in that movie, right?
I think Julia Roberts is a demigod in real life, maybe. So,
she?
I'm not willing to say she's not. So Luther and the Lion would form a bond of friendship and camaraderie, and they both rose quickly through the ranks of the Order. With the Order numbers growing, new monasteries being built, the two friends proposed something we've all pitched to our friend group after a night of partying.
Uh-oh.
A crusade, baby. We're going on crusade. We've all been there, right?
If I didn't fall asleep all the time when we used to party, we would have done a couple of crusades already.
So they pitched going to war with the great beasts of Caliban to cleanse the planet of the scourge which had kept them in the dark for so long. With Johnson's unrivaled ability for planning and tactics, they would ensure the golden age for the once troubled planet.
But he also lived among the beasts, so he could he technically knows how they operate, right?
Yeah, it's unclear how long he actually lived among them. Like, he's immortal, so probably he lived among them for quite a long time and just survived.
Okay, yeah.
But it's also He knows how they operate. He's like a master tactician because he has the gene seed of the Emperor, who's a superhuman. Like, the Emperor is like the Mary Sue, like the ultimate Mary Sue of any fiction that you've ever read. Like, the God Emperor of mankind is just like, no, he can do anything, whatever he wants, you know, and he'd just never be bad at it.
Who's Mary Sue, and why can she do everything?
It's a literary term, meaning if you write a character that's like too strong for no good reason and just has no flaws, it's like coined a Mary Sue.
So Jumping the Shark was from the
Happy
Fawn
Days.
Dude.
Yeah. It's from Happy Days.
Yeah. I wonder where. I want to read the Mary Sue book.
The original Mary Sue.
Geralt from The Witcher is often considered a Mary Sue because he's kind of like, other than the fact people are kind of racist at him, he is basically good at everything, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like he's bad with girls sometimes. I guess depending on your dialogue options.
Yeah.
The term Mary Sue comes from the name of a character created by Paula Smith in 1973 for her parody story, A Trekkie's Tale, published in her fanzine Menagerie No. 2. The story named Lieutenant Mary Sue, the youngest lieutenant in the fleet, only 15 and a half years old, and satirized unrealistic characters in Star Trek fan fiction. So it's from Star Trek. Or it's from Star Trek fan fiction specifically.
But it was making fun of prior Mary Sues in Star Trek fan fiction. Okay. Seemingly. But it's always like the Sonic OC is always like, you know, Peter the Hedgehog, who is like just the coolest guy and he can skateboard very fast and likes to smoke pot and shit, right? Like, it's fan fiction created the Mary Sue and then some lady just gave it a name, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. In the 70s, God, humanity is doomed.
So Lion and Luther are like, we're going to go to war with the great beasts of Caliban. And it would go well. They would cleanse the great beasts. They'd be like, hey, you know, we're humans. We win over beasts. We have gun and power sword. We can kill them. You know,
they rebrand their death world afterwards.
They did bring back swords in Warhammer 40K. But they just added power or chain in front of them. It's either a chain sword or a power sword. And they work much better like that. So
it's a good upgrade to most technology is to add a row of vibrating teeth. My iPhone had that, it'd be so much better.
If my dentures had that, they'd be so much better. So in recognition...
Honey, can you pull the ripcord? I need to eat.
Yeah.
Just destroys every meal.
Yeah. Oh, they got away from me. Eating their way across the kitchen, like chew through the table, like, ah, son of a bitch, not another one.
It would need one of those kill switches like on a treadmill where if you get too far away, it just
pulls it right out.
You have to like clip your knife to your wrist.
Yeah.
I like to pull the ripcord properly. Ariane's got her head up, or like her foot up on your head on the table. For leverage.
I like the way it vibrates, though. So does she. So, in recognition for his triumph, Lion was proclaimed Supreme Grandmaster of the Order and of Caliban as a whole.
Ah, damn.
So, while Luther didn't openly begrudge his friend's success, it must have been kind of hard for him to see his friend who he'd found squatting by himself in the forest become king of the planet he was born and raised on. Luther, in a lot of ways, found Lion, and Lion was like a savage boy, a feral kid, and kind of raised him as his own. Obviously, Lion's daddy is the Emperor. Like, unbeknownst to everybody in the story at this time, Lion's father, as much as he could have had a father, was the Emperor.
Because the Primarchs, were they ever born and then implanted with the seed, or are they just straight kind of pseudo clones?
I don't actually remember. We probably talked about it on the last episode. I don't remember if they were just like existing humans who were injected with the stuff, or if they were like freshly cloned. But I know you can inject like young humans with the gene seed and they become space marines. That's how you make the Astartes. So while the two were kicking butt and taking names, conquering over the great beasts of Caliban, there was a self-styled emperor of mankind who was tearing through the galaxy on what had been his own crusade, the Great Crusade, which would see the galaxy of man united under a single banner, that of the emperors. So we've talked about the Great Crusade a few times on this episode, or we just mentioned it a few times on this episode. It was just bringing all these various planets with humans on them under like one banner, one faction. We all worship the God Emperor of Mankind, you know. Here, here.
Across the galaxy, that's no easy feat.
No easy feat, man. From what I've heard, the galaxy be pretty big. Space?
Flat, thankfully, though.
Space? Bigger than whales. I'll tell you that much. And whale,
sure?
And whales, pretty big.
You haven't read Stephen King, dude. There's like big old space whales all over the place.
Yeah.
Turtles.
Yeah. So during this time, during the time of the Great Crusade and their crusade against the Great Beasts, by cosmic coincidence, the very Astartes who had been spawned from the Primarch Lionel Johnson ended up on Caliban. They quickly realized the man was indeed their long-lost daddy. So our timeline of events here is the Emperor creates his Primarchs, one of whom is this guy who would be found on a planet and be dubbed Lionel Johnson.
Right.
He takes their genetic gene seeds as soon as they're born, kind of thing. He turns his back. The Chaos Gods steal his Primarchs, his children, scatter them across the universe. And he's like, well, still got their genes, so we're good. He creates armies, like clone armies, like Star Wars-esque Boba Fett clone armies of the Primarchs. And then he sends them out into the universe to conduct his Great Crusade.
Okay.
So the Legion that was spawned from Lionel Johnson just happens to coincidentally end up on Caliban and ends up getting there and being like, hey, take me to your leader. And they're like, oh, we have a Supreme Grandmaster of the Order and of Caliban as a whole. And they're like, okay, cool. Yeah, that's what we meant by leader. And then it turns out it's like, they just get there and they're like, one of the Space Marines just drops his juice box and he's like, daddy. And it's, and after all these years buying smokes and a pack of milk,
pack of milk.
Yeah. Then there's dad standing at the. It's like they go like their dad left to go buy a carton of smokes and a pack of milk at the grocery.
Yeah,
the,
a trillion light years away.
Yeah. And they're like, you know what? It's been a while. I'm gonna go check on dad. And they get there, and dad's there. And he's just like, yeah, no, I completely forgot who I am or where I'm from, but I've been here the whole time. You know,
I do like the galaxy spanning lore for this, and this I think is one of the only times in Warhammer where I've just been like, fucking seriously, how many colonized planets does the Empire of Man have? And it's just like, yeah, I'm gonna send this clone army to the planet the one guy was fucking marooned on, right? Like, that would be lazy writing if it was all just set on Earth, like in the same town.
I mean, okay, to be fair, it's not like that was the only planet that they were sent to. They were
no,
kind
of, no,
just,
of course not.
They were just like, you go to that quadrant. We're going to send this army to that. Like, they split the galaxy into 20 and sent.
Okay, that makes more
they
sense.
They each had 1/20th of the galaxy, so it's a 1 in 20 shot. You know, roll a D20. They rolled a nat 20 on finding their daddy.
Yeah, roll dad check.
Roll a nat 20. So,
Lion 20 shot.
So Lion was appointed leader of the first Legion of Space Marines and members of the Order who passed the Legionis Astartes trials were transformed into First Legion warriors, either by implanting them with gene seed organs, as we've mentioned, or if they were too old, because you have to be a virile young boy to receive the gene seed of the Emperor. Like Luther, who was a mortal man, where Lion was an immortal man. Luther was too old, so through genetic manipulation, his size, his speed, his strength, and his longevity was improved. He was never made immortal, but he was made much less than mortal, I guess you could say, or much more than mortal, depending on how you look at it, I suppose.
Depending on whether or not you want to die.
He's chrono superior.
Yeah, exactly. So after the new Astartes were ready, Johnson, with Luther once more as his second-in-command, publicly renamed the Legion the Dark Angels after an old Calibanite myth of shadow-clad angels who came from the sky to aid the people of Caliban in their time of need. So,
okay, cool.
The Dark Angels got their name from this homeworld or this dead world where there was this ancient myth where darkly clad angels would come from the sky and help the Calibanite people in their time of need. So Lion,
I guess that was probably some other Legion of Space Marines or pre-Space Marine that had come there to help them out when the monsters got out of hand.
No, so it's a myth. Like that could be the case. So there was no, it would have been pre-Space Marine at best, best because this is a kind of the first legion of Space Marines.
Okay, yeah.
It would have been pre-Space Marine at best, but more likely than not, it was like... So there was the period of Great Strife where from the year 20,000 to the year like 28,000, like all there was warp storms all across the galaxy, and like all communication, humanity had been spreading out for 20,000 years, and then all communication broke down and everyone was like in silence for like 7,000 to 8,000 years where they couldn't contact anybody else in the galaxy. So like everyone kind of devolved back into myth and legend and all that stuff. Like
this is why like everybody is like knights and castles and shit, is because they are as isolated in space as humans were in the medieval ages, basically, I guess.
Yeah. And when you think about it, the medieval ages was 600 years ago to 1,000 years ago. And all their myths and legends were from 1,000 years before their time at best. And this is like 8,000 years of complete silence, you know? So they went back to their roots, I guess you could say, of prejudice and fear mongering.
Well, thank God for that.
So Lion would take his newfound army and he would strike out into the galaxy to earn his own father's approval, the Emperor. As the Imperium descended on Caliban to introduce drastic changes to the culture, technology, and lifestyle of the people there in the name of creating a more useful homeworld to the Emperor.
Is it still like colonization if you're doing it to your own clones?
No.
What's the morality of that?
So
we don't know yet.
He was a clone that landed there, that the non-clone people elected fairly to the office of great leader, and then his clones showed up to be like, oh yeah, by the way, we're part of the Imperium. He was like, cool, we're part of the Imperium too. I like the way you think, kid.
Okay.
Yeah. But the people who were born on Caliban were like normal enough humans just living their lives generation after generation after generation after generation for however many thousands of years.
Well, they had been colonists on like an abandoned space planet and then just kind of went from there. And now all of a sudden they're part of the Empire.
It's like if a bunch of, Justin Trudeau clones showed up today to Canada and were like, oh, Justin Trudeau, dude, we're your clones. And he was like, cool, dude, we're part of whatever galactic federation you were a part of.
Okay. All right.
So honestly, I think there was a clone. Whenever he got his second trimester or term or whatever the thing is when he came
his
back.
His second trimester?
Yeah, no. He had an evil beard.
Pardon me.
That's true. He did have, his second trimester, he did have an evil beard.
Yeah.
Just look up Justin Trudeau, second trimester. And I'm sure Rule 34 doesn't have something for that.
And all the Justin Trudeau inflation porn.
And then all the Justin Trudeau clones come into Canada and start saying, okay, we need to do this for the Galactic Federation because we're now a Galactic Federation country, you know?
Right. We move from like a fucking... We take the queen off our money and then we put on Justin Trudeau, but he's fucking huge and has like a space armor on.
They come into your house and they start giving you blackface and you're like, whoa, I'm not comfortable with this. And they're like, no. This is what we do.
The Galactic Federation.
This is what we do.
Every family in the country gets an Alibaba outfit. We're all just like, I'm not okay with this.
Feel okay with this. So any dissent against destroying
the Dark Angels. I get it.
Yeah. Any dissent against destroying the old way of life was considered treason and dealt with harshly. So one mission that the Dark Angels, now that they have their leader Lion, they've been dubbed the Dark Angels. It was the first legion of Space Marines, and now they're the Dark Angels. And they're off into the galaxy to conduct the Great Crusade with a Primarch at their head.
Okay, so they just get roped into the whole thing.
Well, I mean, the Dark Angels were already doing that.
Oh, excuse me. I forgot that the Primarch was... he was marooned on that planet already.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Sorry.
Exactly. So he was like, yeah, we'll totally do this. And they turned a bunch of the members of the Order, the Calibanites, into Astartes, into Space Marines, to do this with them. So Luther's there with them. There was a ton of other... Okay. Like, any young enough, virile enough boy was turned into a Space Marine and became one of the Dark Angels. So the Dark Angel, one of their first missions, or one mission that they were assigned to, was the assimilation of the planet Sarosh, into the Imperium. A seemingly trivial task. The Saroshi, ruled by a planet-wide bureaucracy, had expressed interest in joining the Imperium, after all. So they're told, hey, we got a line from these guys. They said they want to join the Imperium. Just go recruit them. That's all you got to do. Just go show up. You know,
the paperwork, basically.
Cross your T's, dot your I's, get them to sign, you know, get them to agree to the terms and conditions. We'll bring them into the Imperium, and then you can go on to killing more Xenos.
Go to their universities, start handing out cheap gene seeds to all the students who are in debt there. It's going to be great.
So it seemed that the Saroshi held similar secular beliefs to what was called the Imperial Truth, which was just the belief that no kings, no gods, no whatever, very Ayn Rand, very, you know, we're mankind, we're going to spread through the galaxy, we're going to take over everything, that's our right, blah, 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 blah. Which very much changes after the Horus Heresy when the God Emperor of Mankind is deified and becomes the actual God Emperor of Mankind.
Yeah, okay.
Again, you could probably go back and listen to our Horus Heresy episodes, and we'll talk more about that. The truth was far more sinister. The Saroshi secretly worshipped the chaotic energies of the warp they called the Malachim, and saw the anti-religious stance of the pre-heresy Imperium as evil. So the Imperium at the time was very anti-religion. Like, again, no gods, no kings, only man. You're not allowed to worship because that's dumb and bullshit. So just shut up, believe in your government, and you'll be okay. The Saroshi, being the evil people in this story, were like, that's fucked up, dude. You can't just tell people that. So they're labeled as evil. But it was unknown to the Imperium at the time. So on a diplomatic mission, the leader of the Saroshi brought a nuclear device onto the ship of Lion and Luther in an attempt to destroy the entire fleet command structure, right before denouncing the Emperor to Lion's face and getting a power sword through the sternum as a reward. So he was like,
sorry, I just need to set down my incredibly heavy luggage. Do you have somewhere out in the open I can put it, preferably?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, fuck your Emperor. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what this guy was thinking, but it was literally that, where he like brings something on board, and then he's like, cool. So all my stuff is dropped off. I'm all set up back in my room. So fuck you. Fuck your Emperor. I think you're a piece of shit. I think he's a piece of shit. And he gets stabbed to death by a sword.
Chaos for life.
Chaos for life, bitches. So
I think a martyr just is planning on getting killed and then maybe wreaking some havoc. So he's totally knew what he was doing, right?
I mean, yeah. But he would have wreaked more havoc if he just kept his fucking mouth shut. And like, if he just pressed the button himself rather than taking the sword through the sternum and was just like, I'm on the ship. Let me just fucking give me a detonate switch. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know the context of the actual dialogue that they had. Maybe it was like, oh, Lion found him out. And in with his last breath, he denounced the Emperor or whatever. I don't
know. Nervously checking the inside of his atomic briefcase to make sure there was still a nuke. A nuke in there. He's like, oh, thank God.
So the nuclear device was found by Luther and a librarian named Zahariel. They managed to eject the shuttle that it was on, or they throw it into like an escape pod and shoot it into space, or it came on a shuttle.
Yeah.
They shoot the shuttle out into space. For his bravery, Luther was condemned for ever having allowed the device on the ship in the first place. Disgrace. Luther was sent back to Caliban with Zahariel to serve as a steward there.
What the fuck? He's not the TSA on this spaceship, right?
No, he's literally the second in command, and it's like, how could you let that guy bring that shuttle to this ship? It's like, you told me to bring him on a shuttle to the ship. What do you want me to do? But he's told, and I don't know, I couldn't find if this was, without reading the books that this actually came from, if this was Lion doing this or if this was like some like imperial bureaucrat who was like, no, but actually it was your responsibility. You signed the form right here. As you can see, you signed this TSF form 22 here for reception of shuttles. And there's clearly a clause right here that says there's no nuclear devices or armaments onside the ship in question. So your signature here clearly proves that you were at fault. And he's just like forced to go back to Caliban, or if it was actually like a dramatic moment between him and Lion, was like, you betrayed my trust. You got to go back to Caliban now.
Okay.
You should be an actor. That was really good.
Thank you.
Really
good. I hope I had the listeners as gross as I had Jamie. Lion's fame, in the meantime, would continue to grow. Luther was sentenced to this now backwater planet to watch his glory be stolen. While Lion is like, I'm the Emperor's first child. I'm going about the universe just fucking solving all his problems. So when Lion would return years later, crusade's done. Horus Heresy, done. We solved it. We fixed all that. Everybody loves the Emperor now. Everybody will love the Emperor forever. All our problems are done, okay?
Everybody loves the Emperor. He's just Raymond. Yeah. He's got his brother.
God, Emperor. Yeah. I don't trust these demons of the warp.
I don't know about that, Emperor. I think I should problem. I'm very tall.
What's his wife's name? I cannot remember. It's been so long since I've seen that.
Oh, fuck. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever really... I'm sure I did watch Everybody Loves Raymond once or twice, but I didn't watch that much.
Oh, okay, it came on. Because he always says his wife's name in that voice that Peter just did.
Ray Romano's stupid fucking voice.
And Ray Romano voice. Hey.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, hang on. I'm going to find it here.
Deborah. He's got the mom tattoo and everything. His mom lives next door.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, there's your
Master
art.
Of Mankind.
Here's your artist. Everybody loves the Emperor.
Yeah. Everybody loves the Master of Mankind, Ray Romano. Lion decides to go back home to Caliban. He's like, you know what? Whether or not all the problems in the galaxy were actually solved, or whether or not he was just like, it's time now. He's like, let's go home. Time to go home, huh? Luther, on the other hand, has been sitting there.
He's like immortal enough. So for the centuries during the crusade, he's probably just there stewing in his own anger, right?
Probably, yeah. Greed and jealousy just been fed to him by the ruinous powers for years now, you know? He was greedy and he was jealous, and that's like fertile soil for the chaos gods to plant a seed in you, if you will. Much like the Emperor did to the younger, more virile boys. The chaos gods, they're like, "No, we don't discriminate here. We'll take old men too." You know,
yeah, and then, old jealous crusty men. Why
old,
not? We'll put
old
seeds
bitter
in them.
Men. Yeah, no problem. So they plant. He's jealous and he's greedy, and they just like they feed into that for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. And they're just like, oh yeah, you know what? You deserve to be out there. You deserve to be out there killing people in the name of the Emperor. Are you kidding me? You should have been the one to chain sword that guy in half. Come on. How could you let them do this to you? And eventually Luther, like any of us would, succumb to that peer pressure. He takes up smoking. Okay, he gives himself up to the ruinous powers, and he says, "You know what? You're right. I'm going to be a servant of chaos. I'm going to be an agent of chaos." So Lion comes home, and the planetary defenses of Caliban would not greet him with open arms. They greet him with open fire.
All the orbital artillery.
It's yeah.
Like, whoa.
Just
that's getting shot instead of a hug.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. Open fire instead of open arms. Yeah, wow. So he goes back to it. Imagine, if you will, for a second, a situation we've all been in. You go to space. You come home. Earth's planetary defenses start shooting at you. You're like, what the hell?
I'd be shocked. Yeah.
What the hell, dude? I live here. I live here, bro. What's going on? But Lion is like, you know what? This is bullshit. I don't care if you're my stepdad. Okay? I'm gonna fire back on you. And he does. All his ships, his whole fleet opens fire on the planet of Caliban. They crack the very tectonic plates of the world, causing them to crack and shift. Following the bombardment, Lion personally leads an Astartes strike force into the primary fortress monastery of Caliban, called the Tower of Angels. So there's one HQ, and he's like, he just like peppers him with shotgun blasts from Pluto or whatever, from the edge of the solar system. He's like, okay, we're coming in.
But they have a Vatican City, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, we're headed straight for the Vatican. Beam me up. So the battle between Lion and Luther was fierce. They go back and forth, you know, chain swords, power swords, guns, psychic powers, all this stuff. Lion bests his friend, but in a moment of weakness, where he's like, should I kill him? Should I not? I probably shouldn't kill him, right? He did rescue me from the forest. I was squatting.
He gave me my first sip of clean water in a millennia, so yeah. I kind of have feelings for him.
I thought poop was clothes, and he told me poop's not clothes, so I stopped wearing poop like clothes. And it was in that moment that Luther struck him a devastating psychic blow. Watching his
okay, wait. sorry, just quickly. I didn't know the Space Marines could also have psychic powers.
So the Imperium can have psychic powers. So Luther specifically is not a Space Marine. He wasn't given the gene seed. He was just genetically modified to have longer life and be stronger and all this stuff. So he's kind of like a cadet, I guess, you know?
Okay.
Where it's like, oh yeah, you're part of the group, but you're not really like part of the group.
He's like a super psyker and also working for Chaos now because they've corrupted his mind, so he uses psychic. Okay.
Exactly. So presumably the Ruinous Powers gave him the psychic abilities, which he hadn't had his whole life. But again, listen to our last episode about Warhammer 40K, the Tyranids, and we'll get more into where psychic powers come from and all that stuff. So watching his oldest friend dying, Luther's mind would finally clear, and in that moment of clarity, the Ruinous Powers would realize that they had lost a pawn. They're like, oh, damn it, friendship really is the strongest magic, and would no longer have a hold on him. In their rage, the Ruinous Powers sent a warp storm to devastate the planet of Caliban. Already weakened from Lion's orbital barrage, Caliban was utterly torn apart, imploding into a field of orbital debris.
That's pretty fucking rad, though.
So they had their battle. He lashed out with psi beam, and it's like Lion is confused, hurts himself in his confusion, and then Luther hurts himself in his confusion because he destroys the whole fucking planet.
Yeah, the planet falls apart.
I was actually thinking about Pokemon, but I was thinking more of like he turned his friend to stone, but then his tears turned him not into stone, and everybody raised up like the end of the Pokemon movie.
I brought you back to life just in time for you to watch the planet explode. So actually, the planet does explode, but conveniently, the Tower of Angels, along with a massive fragment of the planet which it had been built on, survived mostly intact. So,
it's the fucking Doom Fortress now.
Yeah, so it's kind of just like this floating rock in space with this floating stone tower in space built on top of it. When it was searched by the Dark Angels afterwards, they found an incoherently babbling Luther, dubbed the Arch Traitor of the Fallen Angels, which is everybody who followed Luther because it wasn't just Luther sent back to Caliban. So all the Space Marines that were sent back to Caliban with him were dubbed the Fallen Angels, and they became traitors. They found Luther babbling incoherently, describing how Lion had been rescued by the Watchers in the Dark, a small humanoid creature native to Caliban, to heal from his wounds. So they're like, oh, the goblins in the forest came and got him.
I didn't kill him.
The goblins in the forest showed up and took him away.
Is that like the wolves that raised Mowgli, like came back and grabbed him to bring him back to the forest, basically?
Essentially, yeah. Lion's body was never recovered.
Oh shit!
So who knows? Maybe it was the little goblins came back and got him, or maybe Luther killed him and his warp energies just disintegrated the body. Maybe he threw him out a window. We'll never know.
Or the gravity of a planet flying to pieces atomized him. Like that could happen too.
Who knows? And that's as far as I want to get into the Dark Angels. I don't want to go further than that. Until maybe we get to chapters in the future. There is a second founding of the Space Marines. It's decreed 7 Terran years after the death of Horus, where all the Space Marine legions, like I said, the 20 of them, are broken down and refounded as smaller, more flexible formations, essentially.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so the chapters are never more than 1,000 units. Like, you never have more than 1,000 Space Marines per chapter. But you can have a limitless number of in a legion. So the legions all get disbanded. They're like, this is unruly. You can't have one person controlling all this. So I'll leave you
except the God Emperor.
Except the God Emperor, I guess. Yeah.
He's got a quote for us.
Yeah, I'll leave you guys with a quote from the God Emperor himself about the Space Marines. They shall be my finest warriors, these men who gave themselves to me. Like clay, I shall mold them, and in the furnace of war, I shall forge them. They shall be of iron will and steely sinew. In great armor I shall clad them, and with the mightiest weapons shall they be armed. They will be untouched by plague or disease. No sickness shall blight them. They shall have such tactics, strategies, and machines that no foe will best them in battle. They are my bulwark against the terror. They are the defenders of humanity. They are my Space Marines, and they shall know no fear.
Cool.
Yeah, that is cool. I gotta say, like a seventh grader starts a speech with a Merriam-Webster dictionary definition. you finish with quotes all the time, but I love it. They're good. They're good.
Webster's dictionary describes the Astartes as
the fusing of two hot metals.
You shall be my bulwark against the terror.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, James. Down now, and like all the other children are like quivering in terror in the room.
Honestly,
the poor child sits down.
there's so much good Space Marine and 40K lore, like we were saying, out there that it's just like there are books and books and books written about this stuff, and there's so much lore, and there is so much cool fiction built behind it, which what I love about it so much. I haven't played 40K since high school. I have some Age of Sigmar figures right now, but I still love the 40K universe so much. If you guys like it and you want to let me know and you want to tell me to do more of it, please reach out to me at Ethan the Deadman on Twitter or at Loreboys on Twitter. That's probably
Warhammer,
the best place.
The other game, Total War 2, that one's 66% off right now.
Ooh.
You can get into them. I was saying I might pick it up.
We'll take
our check, Creative Assembly, whenever you hear this.
But guys, when can they start writing off game purchases as tax deductible things?
I think we should incorporate first, which is like $300, so we totally could.
Yeah, I'll spend more than that on video games. Let's do it.
Yeah. One of these days, we will. We'll go straight.
And we'll get a company car.
If you want to find me on the internet and help fund my video game addiction, you can find me at facebook.com/JamesTheMiller. Find me on Facebook today. And Peter?
I'm at Pete O'Donohue or at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. Come check out our artwork and our pets and theloreboys.com. And if you want to send us mean or nice messages that we read on air, it's loreboyspodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, actually something real that was created from last week. We have a Minecraft server. And if you want to play on the Minecraft server, we've got some fans in there. We're building some lovely stuff. Get into the Discord, and I'll give you the info for that. I don't want to put it out publicly because I don't want people to ruin my castle.
Lowboys.com/Discord. We'll take you there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And anybody who wants to support the show financially wants to help support Jamie's video game addiction. We do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys/theloreboys/theloreboys. I never find it.
Boys, who knows?
Branding is hard, guys.
Yeah.
Let me bring it up. Patreon.com/theloreboys. And it'll take you to our Patreon. If you don't trust Patreon, we do, of course, and always have had Loreboys Prime. It's our own new version of Patreon. It's like we took Discord and we invented it ourselves, but with Patreon instead of Discord. So we take your money and or goods and services, and we give you back money, goods, or services, depending on the week. Honestly, we kind of flip-flop a lot. So this this week, we are offering something pretty special, I'd say. We are taking money, offering a good. We're taking your money, so send us $20. Exactly. No more, no less. And we'll send you some space cow milk. We've been breeding cows, but we've been exposing them to a horrible radiation from space. And we've been mutating them into super cows, basically. So I guess you could say this is kind of like gene seed milk. And I'm not going to promise you any superpowers, but there's a chance you get superpowers.
So gross.
3%,
2% skim, gene seed, whatever you want in your coffee, baby.
there's a chance that you drink this milk and then you start lactating every day, baby. Okay? Yeah? Does that not sound like a superpower you'd love to have? Just like any good old cow?
Oh, update on the Minecraft server. Someone just sent me a screenshot. They built a giant thing that just says fart.
Okay,
so that's great. That's good.
That's the quality you can expect on that server.
It's popping off.
And that would constitute a Loreboys goodbye.
Why did they, my name's James, why did they put the breathing hole and the eating hole so close?
Why'd you do this, God?
They didn't do it for a whale.
I know, I wish I could just...
Maybe whales are God's chosen people.
That's why they get so big.
Oh, whale big.
whale big, therefore more holy.
And they have a blow holy.
The bigger the body. Hey, the bigger the body, the closer to God, huh?
Oh, yeah, baby. If I get to heaven, it's all whales, I'm going to be pissed off.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.